Hi, I'm Paul Camillos, and welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Join me and the STB crew for Series 8. Just hit that subscribe button, and if you enjoy the pod, share it and give it a like.
What happened in my first couple years in Adelaide was super cool, but I think with change there comes new and exciting things, and I think you see lots of players who are the best and wanting to get better at their game have change, and they go to places where they think they can be challenged and learn new things. Yeah, I think it's just what people do when they're striving to get better. So yeah, I think it's just another stepping stone in my story, I guess.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Joining me today as a co-host, it's Kerry Waller from South Australia, and our guest today is Isabel Bourlais. Izzy, great to have you on the show. And first of all, we want to congratulate you on a great start at your new club, Bendigo. It's just really good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And it's nice to have a fellow South Australian on the podcast too. I always feel like there's a bit of a bias to people from Adelaide. So yeah, it's nice. Thanks for having me.
No, we don't do that.
I have to admit, I was very excited when I was asked to have a chat with you. Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me as well.
Yeah, no, it's always great having you on, Kerry. And like I said, Izzy, it's great having you on the show. Look, I just want to, before we get right into it, I just wanted to ask, you know, you've come from South Australia, you've played in Adelaide, and now you're living and playing in a regional centre. Obviously, you've got Coach Kennedy, and you've also got vets like KG23 and Tolo there. How's that change been for you?
Yeah, so far so good. I guess this is my first time fully like living out of home. I did like a short stint in Melbourne for the NBL 1 season, but now I'm out of home. I'm living away, and it's been nice. Like, I think something that I think Bendigo has to have to draw people to come to a regional town is to have a good program, like the coaching staff and a good group of girls. And I think that's what they sold to me, and they've ticked those boxes so far. And then, yeah, having KG and Tolo, I just feel so lucky and grateful to have them still around to, you know, at the end of their careers to share their wisdom with all the girls on the team, and I think to learn off of them. And yeah, it's just been amazing having them on my team and learning off of them and seeing the way they go about their business.
Okay. There's the one thing that you kind of miss there, which is you've gone from Adelaide.
Yeah.
Now you're in Bendigo. What's it like going from, you know, a city like Adelaide, which, okay, to be fair, it's not a Melbourne or a Sydney, but it's a good-sized city and there's a lot to do. And now you've gone to this regional centre, which is smaller. It's a nice place. Yeah. Been there a few times. How are you finding that difference?
Yeah, it is different. Like, I think going from Adelaide to Melbourne was definitely is just a big city. And then coming to Bendigo, it's just quiet, slower pace. But I think it's got everything I need at this moment. Like, I came here to get better at basketball, and that's what they're facilitating right now. But yeah, I think the way that Bendigo gets around the spirit, and KG talks about it a lot, about the importance of bringing a community together to support our team. And I think having I don't know if there's many regional teams. There's Geelong, but we represent basically all of regional Victoria as a club. I'm not from Victoria, but I think, yeah, people who are from here take a lot of pride in that, and I'm just happy to follow along with that.
You were born in Victoria, though. Is that right?
I was born in Melbourne. Yeah. My parents, my dad got his first job out of playing footy over there, and Mum played a back end of her netball there. And to be honest, I don't remember anything, to be honest. But yeah, I guess I was originally from Melbourne, but Adelaide's home. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, you know, they do say Adelaide's just a big country town, right? So You're just, but it's awesome to hear sort of that insight and for Paul to sort of, touch on that and see how you have been adjusting.
Yeah, I think Adelaide is like a combination of Bendigo and Melbourne. So Bendigo is just the slower pace of it, and then Melbourne's like the hustle and bustle of it all.
When you decided to go to Melbourne to play the NBL One, were you planning to come home to Adelaide? Was that the original plan? Yeah.
Yeah, that I think, I always wanted to play for Adelaide. Like, I think, like I've said, it's home. I've got all my friends there. And then I think but I was also open to other options, I think, at the end of the day, to put aside, like, the emotional stuff of keep drawing me back there. I had to outline what my goals were and what I wanted to get out of the next season of WNBL. And I think when my manager and I went through that process of what I wanted to get out of it and push aside how I felt towards being at home, I think Bendigo kind of felt like the clear option of where I think I would get better. And yeah, so far I think I've made the right decision, and yeah, I'm really enjoying where I am right now.
Yeah, as sad as I was that you were leaving Adelaide, I was really excited at that opportunity for you, obviously knowing the caliber of the coach, the coaching staff, the organization, and the players that would be around you. So yeah, I can't wait to hear a bit more about that.
Yeah, I think it's cool to see though, like, what Adelaide have done to turn around where the club was, say, last year. And there's been packed out stadiums twice and I never got to play. And I just think it's so cool that, they've been taking some steps in the right direction of promoting the game the right way. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game when you come back, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was next in a week and a bit, I think, so should be good.
Yeah, so is one side of the stadium going to be named the Izzy Borlay Stand?
No,
I don't think. They'll put all your family and friends there.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've done enough in the game to get that reward. No, I'll definitely have family and friends there when I come over.
Okay, so I suppose one of the things that everybody's been aware of is that you had a really amazing stint in Adelaide, breakout player, six women of the year, WNBL first team, that's a lot of honours to get. Were you surprised that you picked up all of that in that stint in Adelaide?
Yeah, I definitely was. I think coming out of the Centre of Excellence, the AIS, I'm still really young, but now that I look back on how I was just approaching the game, like, just so naive to, I was just playing and I enjoyed it, and it still is fun, but there's just a level of like lightheartedness to the game. It was just going to play, and I definitely didn't expect the awards to come as quickly as they did in my first two seasons. And yeah, I guess it's just, it's not luck. I do work hard, but I guess I was super fortunate to have Nat to take a chance on me and really give me that opportunity of just playing and letting me play. And I think I'm super grateful for that opportunity that was given to me, because girls my age, and you see the girls coming out of the AIS like these days, like that very few get that leash that I think I was given. And I think, yeah, it's just really cool that, the stars aligned, and don't really play to get the awards, but I guess they're nice little accolades to suggest that, I guess, you're on the right path and you're doing some good things.
Yeah, absolutely. You were 20. Yeah, you were 20. You've just turned 21 in September. Is that right?
Yeah.
21. Amazing. Well, it was in September, but belated happy birthday. But it's crazy to sort of, well, it's crazy for us, but I'm sure it's crazy for you to sort of reflect and think about how much you did. And you've only just turned 21. So there's the first part of your career. And now do you feel like you're sort of heading into the next part of your career?
Yeah, I think so. I guess with this change, it is a new part of just like another part of my career, another stepping stone to guess my story. And yeah, I think what happened in my first couple years in Adelaide was super cool, but I think with change there comes new and exciting things. And I think you see lots of players who are the best and wanting to get better at their game have change, and they go to places where they think they can be challenged and learn new things. And I think that's just what people do when they're striving to get better. So, yeah, I think it's just another stepping stone in my story, I guess.
There's something in that for me. And it's like you're talking about the challenges. And I suppose there's this one challenge that people generally don't want to talk about, but I'm really curious about. And that is Bendigo's champions.
Mm-hmm.
You're going into this season still a very strong team, even though the Sammy is not playing with the team. Do you, like, yourself and also the group, do you guys feel there's, like, a weight of expectation on you to, you know, get back into that grand final game?
To be honest, like, not really. Like, okay. I think...
No, that's good.
There's no real expectation. We don't feel any expectation to achieve with what happened last year, I think. We're a very different group. I think KG did the maths the other day and last year's average age was like 34 or 35. This year, our average age is like 24 or something. So there's a big difference.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. So there's a big difference in experience and there's a couple of girls in our team who, like it's Meg's first stint out of America. So she's new to the professional life. Except for a small stint in WNBA. My two housemates, Polly and Kelsey, they've just come out of college. And that's weird because they're 2 years older than me, but I've played that little bit longer than them in this league. So, yeah, we're a super young group, so I feel like there's no expectation to do what they did last year. Obviously, the habits and the group morale, I suppose, hasn't – well, I wasn't there last year, so I don't know, but I suppose it hasn't changed too much. The group gets on well, so no expectation on our end to repeat, but it would be nice if that did occur.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think there's actually a cool little fact that KG and Tolo have won 5, and except for last year, they both were back-to-back. So if we don't repeat for them, so they've won 5 each and their first 4, like, the first one's back-to-back, the second one was back-to-back, and now there's this one. So we're going to stuff it up for them if we don't win back-to-back for them.
Oh, I love that. Love that stat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real big one, actually.
Yeah, it's cool.
Now, only because you brought up the WNBA, you know, this is probably a good time because I know this was something that you were curious about, Kerry, so I'm going to hand it over to you and let's...
Yeah, thank you. Without going too far behind the curtain, Izzy, I did share with Paul that I got to chat with you at that Sheep Drinks workshop that we did earlier in the year. And I remember, I think the question was, where do you see yourself in 12 months' time?
Wow. Yeah.
I think it was that. You've talked to a lot of people since then. A lot has also happened since then. And I remember you saying, yeah, I'll be playing in the WNBA. And I went, huh, what? So you were drafted into the WNBA, to the Atlanta Dream. Was it your decision to take another year for your development, or was that something that the Dream wanted for you? How did that all play out, if you're happy to talk about that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was my decision to stay home. I feel like there's parts to go over there is like a really big step and it's something that I really want to do. But I just felt at the end of last season, it's a hard thing to explain, but I just didn't feel like I was ready to make that jump. There's lots of elements to that. That's leaving home. I was still living with my parents, with my family, and going over there to live by yourself, other side of the world, competitive, don't really know anyone, was probably, in my opinion, too big of a jump. So that's why moving away in the same country was a good stepping stone. And then there was just parts of my game that I didn't feel like. I do believe that I can compete at that level. Like I had some stints on at the Olympics where I was on the court with girls who played in the WNBA, and I do think that I can in due time. But yeah, it's just a business over there from what I've heard. Obviously I haven't been there before, but just being around the Opals girls who have been there and just listening to their stories when we're like on the way to training, listening on the bus and things like that, I just felt like you've got to use your draft pick while you've got it. Like, it's hard to get back in the league once, you know, if you get waived or whatever, you have to try and find a way through training camp, and I'm going to have to do that anyway. Yeah, I feel like use my draft pick while I have it and go at the right time.
Yeah. Has there, you mentioned, like, you're obviously surrounded, you know, being in that Opals group, and you've got a lot of great support. Is there been, and this is probably a really hard question, but has there been anyone in particular that you've really leaned on for advice in that space, or has been a guide for you?
Yeah. I think obviously having Steph with the Lightning the last couple seasons, you kind of just, you ask questions and you get to know. Yeah, you get to know things. I think Jade Melbourne's one who I like to ask questions of whenever we catch up, just because similar age, and I feel like I'm kind of following what she's been experiencing just like a couple of years later. So I think as far as like an age thing goes, like I think Jade's someone I like to ask questions. But everyone in the Opals group, if I have questions and want to know things, like they're more than happy to answer a call or, yeah, just in conversation. I feel like the girls on in that team, in the squad, I feel comfortable talking to them about those things, and they're more than happy to help out.
Okay, now again, because we're kind of bouncing around a bit, but you've mentioned the Opal, so Paris, the Olympics, a bronze medal. I'm really curious, the first game when you walked out on that court, how did you feel? You know, Olympics, Paris, first game.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going through my mind at that stage. I think just like overwhelmed, I think, was a one that I could use, like excited and just like in awe of how many people were in that stadium. The people I was running out on court with, just like sometimes like it obviously has sunk in, but like now when I talk about it, it's like, oh my God, like I was at the Olympic Games. Like, wow, like that is... It's really cool just to be able to talk about those experiences. So, but I think the emotions was just overwhelmed, and yeah, it was probably, the Olympics was probably one of the most amazing but challenging experiences for me. And yeah, not just that first game, like just the whole experience across the whole thing.
Okay. You said challenging. What was challenging about, I'm sorry, I'm really curious, you know.
Yeah.
What did you find challenging about that?
Yeah, I probably didn't have like the lead up. So when we're in, before we went into Lille, which was the first week of playing, we were in Spain for like about a week and a half. And that was basically the first time when everyone, but not everyone really trained. Everyone was there together, but we actually hadn't trained together because girls had some injuries and things like that. And I actually, now looking back, I feel like a drama queen. I was like, I had a little calf niggle and it stopped me from training and being able to play with some of the WNBA girls in the lead up. And I think upon reflection, I think that would have been super valuable for me because obviously we'd gone to China, gone to Japan, done the Melbourne Games, and I'd played well. I had good minutes and things like that. But the team completely changed when it came to Paris, and rightly so, the WNBA girls and more experience. And I was just a young girl on the block. So I think, in all honesty, like adjusting to that from playing a lot to not playing a whole heap is like something that I wish was new to me. So I think that was one challenging bit, and really trying to find ways that I could impact the game in just small stints and stay ready. And yeah, because it was challenging, and I think my confidence was low after just not feeling like I was contributing, but not in a way that I had experienced before, because naturally I'm a scorer and that wasn't happening for me. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I think it took me a little while to try and find my feet. So yeah, that's probably one of the challenging things, was just trying to find a way that I could contribute to that team without the ball in hand. And just, yeah, it was just a new experience. But on the flip side, now reflecting on that, I'm so, so grateful that I was given that opportunity. Because now if it was to happen again, I feel like I'm more prepared, and not many people my age really have ever been to an Olympic Games that young.
Yeah. You were 19 at the time. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal. I mean, just so, like, talk about big experiences and big emotions. Like, that's a big stage for anybody, let alone a 19-year-old woman, you know? Like, it's, I can completely, I guess, understand on so many levels. That would have been a lot.
Yeah, And I think, yeah, just being there, like, it was hard to take in that you're actually, like at the Olympics sometimes. Like, there was, it was such a intense environment, particularly after dropping that first game. Like, every possession, like, literally every possession mattered. And, yeah, the intensity and physicality of that brand of international basketball was something I'd never really experienced but was in awe of as well.
Okay, so just paint us a picture. You're 19, you're in the Olympic Village, you're walking around the Olympic Village. Who was the one athlete that you saw that you just went, oh, my God, it's...
Yeah, there's probably lots of people, to be honest. but I think in the first week we stayed, so the first part of, like, the pool games were up in Lille, which is, like, out of Paris. It was just basketballers. Nikola Jokic was sitting in the dining hall, like a table over. Arnis was sitting there, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like all these people. I literally watched a Netflix show, like the NBA thing, of like all those people. So like probably just like the basketballers from that perspective. And then we played Team USA, so we're playing against Aja Wilson, Breonna Stewart, Dana Taurasi. So that from a basketball perspective, that's them. And then can't think of, like, obviously there's, I really like tennis players. So I think, so like, Naomi Osaka from like a distance, but then there's like other like Aussies, like in the actual village. A cool experience that we got was we played on the very last day of like the Olympics. So when we were coming back from receiving our medal, like there was like basically just a walkway that was created for us of all the other Australian athletes going off to the closing ceremony, and they made just like a tunnel for us to like walk through. And I couldn't really pinpoint like all of the people there, but there was obviously swimmers and different sporting people in there. They were just congratulating us, which was, that was, yeah, cool memory.
That would have been so pretty cool. Special.
Yeah, it was, yeah, unreal.
One of the things that surprised me when we were kind of just doing a bit of research is, and you've touched on it earlier, your family has got a huge sporting pedigree.
Yeah.
Given all the different sports that your family's played, why did you land on basketball? I was really curious about that one.
Yeah, I think I've got an older brother and an older sister, so I'm the youngest of three. And I think just like any younger sibling, you kind of just like follow your siblings around to what sports they do. And basketball was one of the sports that they did. But I did lots of sports growing up. I did surf life saving. I did netball. Did all the knockout sports you can imagine just to like miss out on school. But when I was growing up, I think I really liked netball, but mum was my coach and I actually didn't like her coaching me, not because she's a bad coach, just because I didn't like her telling me what to do at home and then telling me what to do on court. And I feel like I think she didn't like it either, but separating like coach, mum, like that's just not something I enjoyed. So, but I still liked netball. I played school netball up until I left for the COE, and that's when I had to decide that basketball was my thing when I was 15. But I also did surf life saving. That was my other like main thing I did. And I seriously can't say enough positive things about surf life saving. I loved it. Like, it was so much fun. The summer, the beach, you're just with your friends, you get tan. Like, wasn't thinking about that when I was little, but that happened. And it was like a nice mix between like competitiveness and then like team camaraderie. And yeah, that was really fun for my summer times as well.
My old boss is Damien Marangon, and he's the CEO of Surf Lifing SA. I'm pretty sure he's going to clip that and use it as promo. Yeah. He's going to love that.
I'll happily promote Surf Life Saving. Like, when I have kids, like, they will be doing that. Like, I loved it. It was so good.
So, okay. Bendigo's an awful long way from the beach, so
I know that's a big downfall of Bendigo. I go to the, I found this Georgia Booth. She goes out to, it's a reservoir. I forget the name, but you know, does the job for now. Temporary beach. We've got temporary paddle beach. Boards. Okay. And stuff. Yeah, that does the job.
Paul asked you about the Olympics, but the WNBA draft. How did you, what was the feeling? What was your feeling when your name was called out for the WNBA draft. That's another pretty amazing moment.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like I had, so it was morning for us, obviously, time difference. It's night over there in America, but it was early morning. And I had, it was at home, basically had everyone who's important to me there. And I felt just happy that everyone who supports me was in our lounge room watching. And yeah, we just watched it on TV. It's pretty cool that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were in the same draft class as what I was. But yeah, I guess it was a really cool experience, but I didn't actually get the excitement of like hearing my name get called out because it was kind of in an ad break and then it popped back on and now like,
oh they no.
So I didn't really hear like in the 20th pick, the Atlanta Dream select, it was the ad break and then they came on and they like rapid fire did like four picks. So I didn't get that. But when I saw my name pop off, it was nice and bit of a delayed reaction of everyone being like, oh, like, your name's up there, like, good job. But yeah, it was really cool. I feel really lucky that I was picked by Atlanta, and yeah, it was really cool to get, I don't think it happens very often that I got picked with another Australian to the same team. Like that's pretty cool as well in Nadio. So yeah, super lucky to have that been done.
First up, with the team, with Atlanta, how did you feel about the whole concept of playing for Atlanta? And did you have a preferred team, or were you just like, look, whatever team picks me, I'm great with it?
Yeah, I spoke to like not heaps of teams in the draft lead up. I spoke to Connecticut, Minnesota, and Atlanta, I think, and Washington. So not heaps of teams. So obviously had like a small bit of interest, and you see what like the mock drafts are putting out. They're not always accurate, but my name was being thrown around. So I kind of knew that I was in a chance of getting taken somewhere. I didn't know where or when it would be. And yeah, I'm super excited to, you know, Atlanta's taking a chance on me to, you know, they've picked me for a reason. I guess that's something that I'll have to bring with a sense of confidence that, you know, they've picked me for a reason. So I might as well show them why they've picked me. And yeah, it's going to be a tough gig trying to make their roster because, yeah, they've got to pull together a really stacked team this last WNBA season. But yeah, I'm super grateful that Atlanta picked me, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
Well, I could say, look, I actually know somebody who lives in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And do you like cold weather?
Not really.
Okay. She likes the beach.
I know. I was just going to say done good because Minnesota, I remember him telling me that, you know, the big thing to do in Minnesota is go ice fishing.
Oh, good. Well, luckily WNBA season runs through the summer. So
yeah, but it starts early enough that, you know,
you start to feel
that early practice. That early practice, you'd be getting that weather.
Yeah, I actually didn't know where Atlanta was when I obviously knew it was in America, but I didn't really know where Georgia, the state, was. So that was a little bit of a learning curve of working out where on the map I could potentially be living. So it's on the East Coast, down the bottom. So
look, you know, I think you'll find that with any of the teams, you're going to have so much going on for you that you'll probably be, you know, yeah, it'll be so busy. You'll be like, you know, when do I actually get some opportunity to have a little bit of downtime? Because as you said, you know, it's a business, and it's as we are, you know, seeing, a big business.
Yes, there's lots of changes coming in, probably for good reason. I don't really follow it all closely about all the changes that are happening, but yeah, it is a business and there's lots of movements happening at the moment, and exciting with two new teams as well. So that's more opportunity.
Yeah.
To make teams as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out with those new teams, especially with Sandy going to Toronto.
Yes, it is exciting, and it's, yeah, good to see that she's still in the league. I was no doubt that a team would have picked her up, and it's cool that, you know, our Opals coach is still coaching in the best league in the world, so we're super lucky to have her.
Look, talking about Sandy, handed over the reins to Gorry because of the WNBA season, for the Asia Cup. And that was a magnificent effort by the Opals, bringing home the gold. You know, again, you know, with thinking about a player of your caliber and your age you've done the Olympics, and now you've rolled into the Asia Cup. There'll be a lot of people who'll be going, how do you process going through, you know, and getting all those results in such a short space of time?
Yeah. I probably don't take enough time to probably appreciate what I've perhaps achieved so far. But I think it made me also realize that Asia Cup, that lots of those girls, that was like their first time representing the Opals on like at a tournament. And I think that made put it in perspective once again that, like, wow, like I've worked hard, but these girls have really worked hard to get to this stage. 25, Ali Wilson, she's been around for so long, and you know, to see her get she went to the Olympics with the 3-on-3, but with the Opals and Courtney Woods and stuff, I think it just really put in perspective for me like how cool it was that once again I got to do it so young, but now like I've got to keep my spot now. And I think that's a bit of it's kind of changed my perspective a little bit that, yeah, like I was there, but I was there at the Olympics, a part of that team, but like no one really cares. Like, you know, the girls want to come and get my spot. So it's all about trying to do as much as I can to keep my spot on that team, because it just shows how competitive it is. At the end of the day, we're fighting for spots on that final team.
You might already know this, Izzy, but I was just checking my dates. I think Sandy is actually going to be in Adelaide for the game on the 18th of November.
There you go. I didn't know that. Yeah, I suppose it will be. I think when she comes, she catches up with like Rachel Sporn and all of them like every year. So yeah, She'll probably be hanging out with Sporny or something. But yeah, I suppose it'll be good to see her if she's at the game.
Yeah. As you can imagine, that's kind of a big deal for Adelaide. So everyone's very excited.
No, it is. It is. It's cool to have her in Adelaide and being able to support the WNBL and watch those games.
Yeah, she does. One of the things that's been really good to notice over the last few years is that Sandy does get to a lot of games when she's in Australia and around the country. So I suppose in one respect, it's really great for everybody who wants to, who's in the Opals and who aspires to be in the Opals, to know that your head coach has got that level of interest in seeing the regular season games, as well as, you know, focusing on the national duties as well. How did you find Sandy's ability to be able to work with the various members of the team? Because, you know, I think there's a lot of people who go, oh, she's the head coach of a national team, she must be really, you know, tough. And I'm sure she is a tough coach. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's more to Sandy than, you know, just that. So it would be interesting to hear from your perspective how you see her.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Sandy. I think the fact that she took a chance on me and in picking me and not even for the Olympics, but when we went to Brazil for the Olympic qualifiers, like those tournaments are pretty intense with the fact that if you don't qualify, you don't go to the Olympics. So I think those Opals teams are hard to crack, and the fact that she took me and she believed in what I could do, I think I'll be forever grateful for her for doing that. And then, yeah, I think she was a player, so she kind of gets all the emotions and feelings that go in towards games and tournaments. And she, yeah, I guess she's got a level of understanding of how the game's played. And I think the fact that she can relate to lots of us girls, I guess, allows her to connect and understand from our perspectives on how we're experiencing things. And I think that goes a long way when coaching a group of girls.
Yeah, Sandy's, Paul says she gets to a lot of WNBL games, but she also is, you know, always more than happy to give back to the community when she's home. She's going to be involved in, I think, a massive She Hoops camp that sold out in, I don't know, a couple of days. It's already sold out, which is a great segue into asking you a bit about your She Hoops involvement. So you did those workshops earlier in the year here in South Australia. You went out to the regions. I think you had a bit of a whirlwind tour. Can you tell us a bit more about your involvement in the She Hoops program as well?
Yeah. I guess what She Hoops is standing for and what they're doing is really cool. And going out to, like I've said, like going out to places where I'm from and promoting the game of basketball to young girls is just really cool. And I guess you can't be what you can't see. So particularly in those regional areas, I found that like the girls and families were just so grateful to have a program like She Hoops come out to places like them. We went to Port Lincoln, which is where my mum's from, and just to kind of give back to where she's from and people who kind of know who she is, and my grandparents and things like that are all from out that way. So that was kind of cool. So yeah, I think anytime I can help out with She Hoops, I'll be there. And I think I've just done a short little film thing like a biography thing. So that will probably be my next thing that gets talked about with She Hoops. But yeah, I really like what they do and what they stand for. And I think what LJ and Madge is doing, like particularly LJ going out to anywhere, everywhere across Australia, like I swear Madge is never in Bendigo because she's all over the shop doing stuff. Like I think for them to be out in those regional areas and lots of WNBL girls being able to do that, I think is really cool and really important, because for those girls to see people like us in front of them, like it could be really inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned before KG23 recently, and you said that she'd mentioned as well about the importance around that engagement with the local community, and that you guys are doing more. So in addition to She Hoops, you're also doing lots with the Spirit as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, our preseason was all over the place. We went out to Kalgoorlie because we've got the same owners as the Perth Lynx, so we did some things out there. And then we went up to Townsville, we went to Warrnambool, Shepparton, and we did clinics all out in those regional areas, and it was really cool just to see different parts of Victoria. But yeah, I think, and you can like see it, I find, like I said before, like regional areas are super grateful for us giving them our time, because it probably doesn't happen very often. And just like when we were in Shepparton, there were so many young girls who were at the clinic and then they came out to the games, and then yeah, like I think it's just really cool. Because and when you're in Bendigo, like I think a talking point for us has been trying to increase the crowds of, you know, like we're getting a decent crowd, but I think the only way that you're going to get crowds is touching the people of Bendigo and getting the word out and being out there. So I think KG and Tolu lead by example in that respect.
So talking about all that community engagement, we had KG on the show a while back, and she was talking about the fact that, you know, you get recognised in the street. Have you found that that's happened to you? You walking down the street and people are like, oh, look, it's Izzy.
No, I don't think I'm a bit of a household name yet in Bendigo like KG is. She's been around a bit longer than I have, and she's done a little bit more for the town than what I have. I did get recognised the other day walking out of Into Sport in the main street, so that was the first time that I got properly recognised. Yeah, no one's as big time as KG. I'm not on her level.
I was going to say, I don't think it's only been three rounds. I don't think it's going to take much longer, Izzy. I think halfway point of the season, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying, but I'm not quite there yet.
You might have to start getting your groceries delivered or something.
Yeah. No, won't be happening.
So, again, you know, it's great. Kerry's sort of brought up, you know, talk about this season, and I suppose there's a few things we want to talk about this season. First of all, I want to talk about how you found this season, because one of the big talking points for 25-26 has been how physical it's been. You know, you see it, like, it's tough, it's physical, there are bodies hitting the floor on a regular basis. The refs are not blowing the whistle as much, and they're letting you guys play.
I had five fouls, so they are blowing the whistle too much.
No, okay, corrected on that one.
No, that's actually a really good point though, and something that I had a question about. So we're gonna ask you two questions, or you know, a broader question was, yeah, how are you finding it? But also, yeah, I think one of the things for me that I've noticed is it's not super consistent yet. So it's patches of physical play, and then there's patches where they are calling a lot, and how challenging that must be for you guys as players.
Yeah, I think getting in the groove of the game when calls are inconsistent is tough, but I think that's just part of the game. Like, you can't predict a call and you just have to play defense or offense to the best of your ability. And if the call goes, like, obvious, like, if the call goes the wrong way, then, you know, you can't really do anything about it. But look, consistency would be nice, but I think that's just something that you have to adapt to and try and, yeah, work through while the game goes on. And if something changes in the game and then allowing things to go, then you kind of play to that whistle and try and take an advantage if they are letting physicality go, because being physical is important and it helps you in both offensively and defensively. So just trying to be smart with that as well.
From your perspective, do you think this season to last season, the physicality's kind of stepped up a notch?
Yeah, I think so. I think from the Townsville tip-off, like when we're off in the for the preseason tournament, we played Adelaide the first game and then we played Sydney, and I think they both play a really physical style of game, and we're just like, oh wow, like, okay, if in like the most respectful way, if they're getting away with these things, like, why can't we give a little bit back, sort of thing. So I think, yeah, we just had to adjust a little bit and be more physical, because if they're going to let that go, then we might as well just use that to our advantage. And yeah, we've got some really strong physical players on our team who can bully their opponents. So I think, yeah, the physicality for some of us can work in our favour, but you just have to be smart with it.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, the quality of play that we're seeing now, this, we say it every year, and it's true every year. This is probably one of the, in terms of like how tight it's going to be, I think this is one of the, on paper, this is one of the tightest WNBL seasons I've seen ever.
Yeah.
From the point of view of someone who's actually on the floor and also getting to see teams up at like the Townsville tip-off and just as you're playing through the season, how are you seeing that quality of play and the need to, you know, how sort of consistently from year to year step up the game to be able to stay in check with everyone else?
Yeah, I think the teams will be beating each other every week and you just don't know who's going to win or lose. I think that's what makes it exciting. Like, you can't really have a night off because you don't want to lose a game where you think you should have won it and then another team goes on a run past you. It's early days, but no one probably would have predicted that Canberra are in the position that they are right now. We play them tomorrow. So, yeah, hopefully they don't have their spark of a game against us tomorrow. But, yeah, we just have to, come ready every game, because you don't want to lose a game that you thought you should have won. And it's what makes it exciting. And I think, yeah, it will be cool to see who makes the finals and see what upset wins will come for the rest of the season.
And have you set yourself goals for this season, things that you want to try and achieve?
Yeah, like nothing like award based, like I want to win, like that stuff doesn't matter, like that stuff will come with the smaller goals that I suppose set for myself and areas of my game that I want to get better in. My broader goals would be going to the WNBA, making the World Cup qualifying team, and then hopefully the World Cup. So those are like my long-term goals of like Opals and WNBA stuff. But there's just bits and pieces of my game that I want to get better at. And I think a lot of it's also like a bit of a mindset thing as well. I think as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that, you know, the first part of my career, you know, I felt like I was getting awards, getting better, making teams, like happy days, like that was just my reality. And not that last year was a negative experience, but it was more challenging. It was up and down, and it just making me realize that, you know, it's not all happy days. And I think not being hard on yourself if you do have a bad game and things like that is honestly like an area that I'm trying to work on, because in international play and WNBL, WNBA, like no one cares if you make a mistake. They're going to try and punish you if they see you knocked down, sort of thing. So I think the mindset side of building confidence within myself and trusting myself that I've put in the work is a big part of what I'm working on, to a bit of self-belief, funnily enough. So, yeah.
You see, this is not a basketball question. I noticed your earrings.
Oh.
We're South Australian girls. Are they ever?
No, they're not. I'm sorry.
You'll have to cut this out, Mary. Forget I asked.
I would have given a promotional thing if they were, but they're not. I got them for my 21st.
They are absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I just thought there might be that South Australian tie in there, but
no.
Okay, so last question, again, not basketball related. Now, you said that you're rooming with two other players. Who's the best cook?
Yeah, so I'm, yeah, living with Olivia Pollard and Kelsey Rees. And I'll probably give the crown to Polly. So that's Olivia. But I think we're all, like, none of us don't know how to, like, we all know how to cook. Polly's are probably just perhaps a bit more bougie than what we, perhaps Kelsey and I pull together. It's kind of funny, like, my sister came over a couple of weeks ago and we were making this meal, and Polly and Kelsey were like, oh, like, it smells really good. And I was like, yeah, thanks. Like, I made it last week when my sister wasn't here. So, like, you're thinking it smells good now that my sister's here. I've made it before. So, Polly takes the crown for that.
What classifies as bougie?
I don't know. Like, her food just looks good. Like, it always it's not, what does she like put together? It's not even that fancy, but like just pesto pasta. And yeah, it just like, it just smells good. Like anytime Polly's in the kitchen, everyone's like, oh, it smells really good. Like, we want some. I'm trying to up my game though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we'll expect an update in sort of like a couple of months. We'll see what's changing on the menu at your place.
Yeah, I'll give you that update. You might need to ask Kelsey and Polly to see if how my food's smelling, if it's smelling a bit better.
I feel like this could go on the socials. You guys could do like a cook-off or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to see that, the spirit kitchen or something like that.
Yeah, there's probably lots of things that we could probably put on social media that we probably find that are probably funny, but we get a bit nervous to put out there.
No, don't get nervous. I mean, you know, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
Izzy, look, I really want to thank you so much for giving us your time. It's been great talking to you. It's been great getting an insight into, you know, what's happening for you in Bendigo and generally what's happening for you as an athlete. Really appreciate you joining us on Shooting the Breeze.
Thanks for having me. It was good to chat.
And Kerry, as always, it's great having you on the show with us. Can't wait till we do it again real soon now.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thanks, Izzy. I can't wait to see you back in Adelaide in a couple of weeks.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.